Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
How to organically get your first paying customer, especially as a B2B organization. So this is what we are going to be discussing in this episode of the ABM Conversations podcast. This is me, Yog.
Hello, everyone listening. This is me, Manish. And I like this topic, guys, because in all our previous podcast recordings, we have always talked about, ABM strategies from the standpoint of businesses who are already, who already have an existing customer base and whatnot. But this question comes from a standpoint of, founders or businesses who have not yet started or just starting out in the B2B sector, and they are wondering how to get their first paying customers.
Right. And a special thanks to Vanshika Mehta. Thank you for asking this question. This is a great topic, and we really love this to pick it up as part of this conversation. So the thing with respect to any startup, right, you don't have anything to bank upon. So it's not like you have something to some customer base already for another product for which whom you're going to cross sell or upsell something. The first and basic stuff, let's get to the basics of it, right? Here, if you want your customer in an organic manner to start with, they have to like your product, and your product has to be a fit to your customer. The basics here, I think, starts with finding the product market fit. When I say product market fit, it can be starting with an MVP as well, but trying to understand who you're selling to and why they'll value your product. Let me give you an example with the books that I've written in the past. Many a times, I've always felt this, that when I started writing a book and I ask people, what do you think about this topic? And invariably, because people are happy to support and all of that, they say, that's a great topic, I'd love to read up on this and all of that. But when you go there and ask them, would you pay for this? Then you actually get the real answer. I think that's a good validation probably to start with. How do you look at it?
Absolutely. And I think we are at a point of history where we have this huge advantage of testing our ideas before we execute on them, right? For example, I've seen people even putting out polls on Twitter, asking people to advise on a certain feature or even a new product that they are thinking of launching, right? And that definitely gives them a certain direction to go to or saves them the time to not to go to a certain direction. And that's the advantage we have when you are starting out a company. You definitely have to come up with a basic wireframe of the product. It can be in the form of MVP. And the most important thing, even before, finding the product marketing fit or in order to find the product marketing fit, I think is after you have the MVP or the wireframe ready, right? You have to go find and talk to your customers, who you think are your prospective customers. You talk to them as many as possible and then try to find out what are the pain points they have and how can you come into the picture to solve it, and will they be willing to pay or in some way or other transact with you. And then once you have that clarity, once you have that explicit feedback from customers, that's when you can pivot in the right direction and find your product marketing fit.
Right. So in many ways, what you said can also be a very iterative process, right? So many a time
Absolutely,
you start
yeah.
with thinking that these are the set of people that could be your customers. But when you take your skeletal MVP version of the product or even the alpha or a beta phase of your product and ask them to test it out, you would probably realize that these people are not the ones who need this product. And then you need to pivot. Or even the key factor with the MVP is it should be something that is absolutely useful for them. It's not that you build the body of a car without the wheels and try to sell.
Right.
So it should not be like that. And second aspect to your whole journey is probably trying to identify the model that's going to really work for you. In fact, you know, I would love if you can explain the Stripe story that we often talk about.
Exactly. The another side of this this argument, right? How do you get your first paying customers when you start out is you can't always think of starting out a business and scaling it from the get-go, right? You have to do things manually. And, you know, it has its own advantages. I know, you know, doing things manually is looked down upon, especially in the startup and business domains. But it definitely has its merits, especially when you are trying to figure out the product marketing fit. For example, there's this beautiful story from Stripe founders, right? Who, you know, I forgot the nuances of the story, but let me sum it up in a very compact manner, which is when they started out, right, they went and talked to the likely customers for their product. And when they found the people who were ready to adopt their product and, you know, willing to pay for it, they didn't waste time saying, cool, I'll send you an email or I'll send you a salesperson to set it up and all that. They did everything right then and there. Not in a way to, you know, hurry the customers, but they said, here, let me show you how to set it up for your website or business. And, you know, Stripe is a payment gateway software. So it does come with some initial learning curve. So the Stripe founders, they manually did this for whatever the n number of customers they met for the first few months, right? And then once they saw a pattern, you know, they started scaling it in its own way. So I think it has merits. The manual way of doing things has its merit, especially when you are starting out.
Right. So especially in today's startup scenario where every other company is backed by venture capital funds and all of that, this blitz scaling or scaling up is kind of often on the minds. Everybody wants to go from 0 to 1 million, 1 million to 10 million and 10 to 100 million and very quickly. That's in that journey, we miss out the critical aspect of understanding who exactly our customers could be and what is the USP that we can build. And my key takeaway from the Stripe story that you shared is that they figured out what exactly was the needs. The founders, see, one more thing I always believe is that in the first half of your organization, especially in the first 1 year, the founders are the core salespeople for you.
True,
right?
True.
So you go on the ground and figure out what exactly works and where things can go wrong, and you pivot in different directions or figure out the exact model. If SaaS is for you, it is for you. If enterprise is the model for you, it is for you. But you have to figure which is the one that really belongs to you or where you really fit in. It's not like riding the wave that already exists, but identifying that niche. That's where I think the Stripe guys got it perfectly right. And I also would like to cite another example, Airbnb, right? It's a fantastic company. And if you look at it, the model they started with, they put it up on Craigslist and they rented one of their bedrooms. And
The mattress and the bedroom, I think.
Yeah. So by and large, you know, if you look at it, it's one of the most least scalable models ever. But today, the kind of network that they have and the way they've expanded as a global brand, and who would think of putting something on Craigslist, you know, and there are so many examples who just went on this list and became a huge, built a huge empire for themselves. So it can work from anywhere. Be open to experiment. Wait until the click actually happens and then begin to scale up. Scaling up is important, but it's not where you start.
Exactly. Because scaling up is not the right way to create a feedback loop for your, you know, young product at the beginning stage, at its nascent phase, right? The beauty of doing things manually is you create a direct feedback loop with the customers that are willing to pay for your product, right? And they'll tell you either you can productize your services or you can serviceize your products, right? And
right. So very similarly, I would also like to bring in another angle to identifying or organically getting your first customer. We have found the product market fit by doing this, but what now? Right. So on any analysis, this is popularly known as the OODA model, that is OODA, where when anything happens, we first ask, so what? Right? Something happens, what has happened? And then, so what? I mean, what does it mean to us? Now what? What are we going to do with that? So these three is really going to help out build your model. Now, how do you get your customer? right? So we've spoken about model, we've spoken about how we identify the fit, but where do I get my first customer or what happens? Some of the biggest companies have taken even 2 years or 1.5 years to find their first customer, and then they rapidly scaled up. It's a game of patience. But today, there are many ways to get there. Social media, micro-influencers, these are all, opportunities where you can crack an opportunity first. So instead of spending heavily on advertising or PPC or any of these things, content could be one way, but it's a slow growth.
Well, I would say discovering the product market fit for your product or services at the early stages of your business is the pathway to find what marketing will work for you and how to get to the right customers who will pay for you, right?
Exactly.
I think that will unfold this answer for you.
Right. And even if you look at the same thing from a venture capitalist standpoint, mm-hmm. The easiest answer to this is focus on one channel that is going to work for you. So a lot of people might say that being on every social media platform is a necessary evil, or email is absolutely necessary and all of that. But for every company, no two companies in the same industry or with the same kind of product follow the same marketing model.
Right.
They don't follow the same sales model. So identify what is that one channel that is really working for you and then double down on that. For me personally, I don't spend, if I consider myself as a product for a minute, the simplistic identification here is I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter, but I double down my time on LinkedIn because this is exactly where most of the people that I connect with exist.
That can also work from the standpoint of not just businesses, but also consumers. For example, if you are a consumer who spends most of his time on LinkedIn, then that's, channel market fit, just like product market fit that we talked about earlier, right? Similarly, there are other possible parallels we can think of, for example, pricing model fit and all that. Everything definitely goes back to the original idea of product market fit. It encompasses all of these subtopics or sub ideas.
So, yeah, exactly right. So it's very important as a startup entrepreneur for you to make sure that you are focusing your energies on the right kind of things and where it actually makes an impact, rather than investing your energies in too many places or spreading yourself a little too thin. So that's the core message that we want to leave you with. Identify and double down on one thing that's really going to give you dividends.
To recap what Yag just said, finding your first customer, first paying customers to be specific, is not only a challenge but also an opportunity in disguise in so many ways. With that being said, it's goodbye from yet another episode of ABM Conversations Podcast from me, Manish.
And this is Yag.
Don't forget to subscribe to AVM Conversations Podcast in your favorite podcast player. And please, please, please give your valuable feedback to us and also suggest topics for us to cover in the future. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.